From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, the spiritual health of the nation, a major league mistake, and Biden's harmful plan for families. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Reagan Republican, and Christ follower. This past Thursday, we celebrated the National Day of Prayer. I hope you had the chance to participate in your community and pray for our nation. On Washington Watch Live on Thursday, we had the opportunity to talk with former Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, Dr. Ben Carson, about how we can restore the spiritual health of our country. Here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Dr. Carson, welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you. It's always great to be with you. And as I was listening to you talking there, thinking about how rapidly things are, in fact, changing in our nation, I think most people are kind of like deer caught in the headlights, because it was really sort of a bait and switch during the election. You know, it was thought that President Biden was going to be a moderate, and in fact, he is way over on the left side. And the reason that they abandoned Bernie Sanders is they felt that somebody that far to the left could not be elected. So it was a definite bait and switch. And I think the American people recognize what has happened to them. But I think that's also the reason that they're moving so swiftly to try to get as much done as they possibly can before people recognize what's going on. What you mentioned about, you know, the family plan and some of these other bills that they're going to be putting forth is really somewhat alarming, because the amount of money that we are borrowing is staggering. It's almost unimaginable. And that, of course, is exactly what needs to happen in order for them to justify massive taxation and redistribution of the wealth. So, you know, it's all going according to their plans, and it's one of the reasons that we need to be praying right now, because, you know, the radical element has more control than they've had in quite some time, and we need some intervention by God, as well as brave individuals. Courage is going to be the key that will preserve freedom in this country. If people are not courageous, our freedom will be lost. But if they are, we will be able to withstand the things that are going on right now.
Well, you mentioned the bait and switch that took place. And I mean, too bad the consumer protection laws don't apply to politics, because they certainly did pull a fast one. But I think, Dr. Carson, that this has gotten people's attention maybe a little too late. But like I was honored to join you earlier today for a National Day of Prayer call. And we had thousands of people join that call. I think there is an urgency, a sense of urgency, and people are wanting to pray. They're wanting to know how they can make a difference. And so it does begin with prayer. And I think you saw that in the Trump administration, the number of people praying for our country. And I think that explains why we were able to get so much done. The courage mixed with the prayers resulted in some remarkable achievements.
Well, there were multiple occasions during the previous administration that yourself and many other faith leaders came to the Oval Office, prayed with and for the president, prayed with and for our country. And, you know, those things were very much appreciated. I think they made a big impression upon the president. Some people say, no, but he's so mean and coarse. Can you imagine what he'd be like if we didn't have the prayers? What's going on? But I think those kinds of things really make us stop and think about our Judeo-Christian roots, our foundations. And really, those were the things that made us a successful country. The fact that people were willing to work together, you know, to work with your neighbor, to love your neighbor, not necessarily to be 100% in agreement with your neighbor about everything, but that completely isn't necessary. if two people believe the same about everything, one of them isn't necessary. And everybody is necessary. So, you know, let's cultivate a healthy respect for other people's opinions. You know, even these wild leftist radicals, I don't begrudge them their opinion. They're welcome to that opinion. What I do begrudge is them trying to shut up everybody else so that other sides can't be heard, so that people can't make a fair judgment about what they believe.
You know, Dr. Carson, I'm grateful that the Biden administration, the president, put out a proclamation today for the National Day of Prayer. I actually put out last night. And this is going to sound critical, and it's not intended to be critical. It's just an observation. I mean, one of the things that was remarkable about the Trump administration were was the clarity to which he spoke to issues, and there was no hiding. And, of course, you're a prime example of this. You never hid your faith, even as the role of secretary. You were criticized for it, but you never hid it. But in this proclamation, we don't even mention God. There's no mention of a God. I just want to quote one of the paragraphs. It says, "Today we remember and celebrate the role that the healing balm of prayer can play in our lives and in the life of our nation. As we continue to confront the crisis and challenges of our time, from a deadly pandemic to the loss of lives and livelihood in its wake, to a reckoning on racial justice, to the existential threat of climate change, Americans of faith can call upon the power of prayer to provide hope and uplift us for the work ahead." I mean, again, I'm not wanting to be critical, but we don't call upon the power of prayer. We use prayer to call upon the power of God.
Of God. That's exactly right. And, you know, there have always been people who've tried to diminish God in our nation. And so many of the historians and other people have said that our founders weren't really ardent believers in God. They were deists, which are people who believe that maybe there is a God, but he has nothing to do with the affairs of men. And all you have to do is go back and read some of the writings of some of those founders. You know, Adams said that, you know, our system was designed for a religious people, was woefully inadequate for any others. Read about all of George Washington's prayers, the things that Benjamin Franklin had to say, even Thomas Jefferson. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, it's our relationship with God has been the thing that made this into a great country, that really distinguished us from the others. And I think which allowed us to receive enormous blessings from God. And that's what took us from, you know, a bunch of ragtag militiamen to the pinnacle of the world. Now we're kind of treading water.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's, you know, questionable which direction we're going to go in. But I believe that the majority of people in our country, even though the latest statistics show only 46% of people identify with a church anymore, I'm not sure that's a completely accurate statement. It depends on how you ask that question. Do you believe in God? Do you have a relationship with God? Which is a very different question than whether or not you're affiliated with a specific church. And there are a lot of people who have a deep relationship with God, but aren't necessarily connected to a church.
Yeah, I think part of that, Dr. Carson, is that some churches have become more influenced by the culture than committed to influencing the culture with the truth. And people just say, you know, what's the point? And they're finding other places, especially in the wake of the virus. Many people have connected with Bible preaching churches online and have dropped out of some of the denominational churches.
That's exactly right. And, you know, I belong to a couple of groups. And, you know, we continue to grow and have very good relationships. And I think that's probably happening to a lot of groups electronically, and that will continue to be the case.
Yeah.
So we just need to push the ideal of godly principles on people.
And encourage people to pray, to encourage people to come together to pray for the nation in small groups in their churches, wherever. Dr. Carson, Always great to talk with you. Thanks so much for joining us today. And thank you for staying in the battle for the heart and soul of our nation and not, you know, checking out, saying, I've done my time, I'm moving on. You're still in the battle, and we're grateful for it.
Absolutely. And thank you for participating this morning in the National Prayer Call. It was fantastic what you had to say.
Happy to do it. Dr. Ben Carson, to find out more about what he's doing, check out the website, TonyPerkins.com, and you can follow the links over. Congressman Barry Loudermilk from Georgia joins us next. Stick around. More Washington Watch to come.
Stay up to date on what's happening at Family Research Council by downloading our Stand Firm app. We share all of our latest content there, so it's easy for you to have all you need in one place. See the latest tweets, articles, videos, radio programs, and blog posts all in one spot. Visit the App Store on your phone and search for FRC's Stand Firm app to get a conservative, biblically informed source for what is happening in our nation's capital. Download the Stand Firm app today.
Get a trusted perspective on the news of the day every day. Listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins to get honest and in-depth commentary on what's going on in our nation's capital and around the world. Join Family Research Council President Tony Perkins live every weekday by tuning into Washington Watch on the American Family Radio Network, Bot Radio, the KTLW Radio Network, and independent Christian radio stations across the country. Or listen to the show when it works for you by visiting TonyPerkins.com.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. So good to have you with us. On Tuesday, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, together with Georgia Representatives Barry Loudermilk and Drew Ferguson, held a press conference at a suburban Atlanta restaurant and were joined by several business owners who shared their situation in light of Major League Baseball's decision to pull the All-Star game out of Georgia.
Well, I wish Major League Baseball would learn the lesson from this, to not make a rash decision, to make informed decisions, to read the bills before they make judgment. This movement in this country about wokeness has got to stop. We can disagree on things, but let's base it upon facts.
With me now to talk about what he's heard from local business owners and the growing opposition to Major League Baseball, as well as the woke corporations there in Georgia that have spoken out in opposition to the election reform bills that the governor signed into law, is Barry Loudermilk, who represents Northwest Georgia's 11th Congressional District. Barry, welcome back to the program.
Tony, it's good to be with you.
So what are you hearing from the business owners there in terms of their view of Major League Baseball?
Well, they're incredibly disappointed. Just the week before they made the announcement, I had put together a little luncheon with some of the businesses that happen to be in the area of Truist Park. And a lot of these business owners there are owners of businesses that, you know, they support tourism or the convention industry, and they have been devastated by the COVID pandemic. And they were really looking forward to the All-Star game as that one event that would kind of catapult them back into the game, per se. I mean, they have lost so much money. This was the one thing that was going to put them back in business again. And I remember as we were talking about, you know, the issues of business and how they've struggled and all that we've been trying to work together on, they said, well, at least we have the All-Star game coming up. And one of the business owners said, well, we're hearing that they may move it over their take on the Georgia election law. And pretty much the consensus was, well, they're not going to do this because, first of all, it doesn't do what the left is saying it does. And second of all, Major League Baseball has been pretty apolitical. But just a couple of days later, they made the announcement, which has been devastating to a lot of businesses there. And they are frustrated. They're already frustrated with the federal government because they can't compete with the government paying people to stay at home more than they can afford to have them come to work. And then for Major League Baseball to stick its nose in something like this based on false information has really significantly hurt a lot of businesses. Like I said, this was going to be the thing that put them back into business again after losing so much during COVID.
And the irony here is a lot of these businesses were minority-owned businesses. They pull out, they go to Denver, and there are very, very few minority-owned businesses there in Denver. So it's it does not add up. And I think the voters are seeing through this. A poll by the University of Georgia found roughly that 54% of registered Georgia voters opposed the April decision to move the event to Denver. And it was interesting, though, Barry, that it doesn't stop just with the Major League Baseball, because, you know, Delta stuck their nose into this. Right. So did Coke, Diet Woke. I quit drinking it. I'm now doing the off-brand. 60% of Georgians opposed companies using their public role to shape political opinion and promote cultural change. 86% of Republicans, 55% of independents, and about 56% of Democrats saying the same thing, basically saying, look, if you make widgets, make widgets. Leave the public policy to the politicians.
Exactly. And it used to be, and you know this, Tony, when your time in the state legislature and my time in state legislature and in Congress is, for most part, businesses were mostly interested in tax policy and regulatory policy and trade. That was it. That's where they engaged in politics. But we're seeing a growth in businesses that are getting involved in social issues. And they're following this woke movement and the cancel culture. And a lot of that is based on false information, just like you saw in Georgia. The information that came out that President Biden came out with, the bill does not do. It was false information that was fed to them by the left and their talking points. And I mean, it should have been an embarrassment for the occupant of the White House to get four Pinocchios by Washington Post. You know how liberal Washington Post is. For them to even come out and say the president was, I think, four Pinocchios is the highest rating that they can give, with him saying that this was equated to Jim Crow laws. This is crazy. All the Georgia law does is it makes it easier to vote, harder to cheat, and it further expanded voting availability beyond what many of the other states, including New York, where Major League Baseball is located, it further expanded beyond what New York allows for their voting. So it's crazy. And yes, most people, and I would say if you polled the Georgians specifically in Northwest Georgia area around Truist Park, is going to be in the 80% that are opposed to Major League Baseball moving the All-Star game.
Barry Loudermilk, let me ask you one final question. Is this going to I know from my days in the legislature, big business had lobbyists there because they wanted to make sure they had good regulation, tax policy. Mostly they were concerned about policy that affected them. Of course, now they've gone way beyond that with their, as you said, their woke agenda. Is this going to backfire on them in state legislatures and in Congress, where they may not find favorable standing with those conservative lawmakers any longer?
Well, it very well could. If you look at Delta, you brought up Delta. When I was in the state legislature, almost every year, the final bill that we would work on, a bill that we work on usually in the final day, was a tax exemption for Delta Airlines for their fuel purchases at Atlanta Hartsfield Airport. The law is carefully crafted to where only Delta gets this tax break. It's written in such a way that you have to be an airline based in Georgia with a hub here and you fly so many aircraft, et cetera. It's always controversial because Democrats have been opposed to them getting this tax break. Republicans have usually gone on and voted to give them this tax break. Only Delta gets this tax break from the legislature, and it's the governor has been pushing it for them. For them to come out the last day of session and do what they did, it's caused a lot of people in the state legislature to question whether they need to go back in the special session that we're going to be having for redistricting and maybe readdress this tax break, because the money that is derived from aviation fuel cells in Georgia goes to rural airport development. And a lot of these airports could use a lot of that money to help with their economic development. So you may see something happen that way.
All right. We're going to watch that closely. Got to leave it there. Out of time. Thanks so much for joining us.
You can find ways to positively impact the political process and the world around you when you visit TonyPerkins.com. And be sure to follow us on your favorite social media platforms, including Gab. We'll be back with more Washington Watch right after this.
Would you like to spend more time in God's Word? Then join Family Research Council on an exciting journey through the Bible. The Stand on the Word 2-year Bible reading plan takes you through the Scripture every day in an engaging manner. Start reading with FRC today. When you sign up, we text you every Sunday with daily passages and questions that help prepare you for conversations with your friends and family. To begin this journey, visit frc.org/Bible.
With the recent increase in censorship of conservative Christian perspectives, it is as important as ever to stay up to date on the fight to uphold marriage and family values. That's why FRC's blog publishes timely articles focusing on a variety of relevant topics, such as abortion, sexuality, and religious liberty. Our writers cover the latest developments on these issues to ensure you are informed from a biblical worldview. To stay up to date on current news related to faith, family, and freedom, visit frcblog.com.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. President Biden recently introduced his American Families Plan, which sounds really nice, but in reality, introduces harmful policies that will continue to damage the traditional family, the traditional family unit. Here's FRC President Tony Perkins with our director of the Center for Human Dignity, Mary Zook.
Mary, welcome back to the program.
Thanks so much for having me today, Tony.
All right, let's talk for a moment. We're going to get into the specifics, but I want to go through very quickly the American Families Plan and what all is in that plan and why it is problematic.
Well, the major problem that I see concerning child care with the American Families Plan is that it's just what you mentioned. It's the indoctrination of children. It's the replacement of parents by a government-approved agency, and it's trying to fix a problem that America has with fatherlessness by creating a culture that promotes motherlessness as well.
This is not really what mothers are looking for, is it?
No, not at all. In fact, this is what a very small set of wealthy women, mostly women who don't have children and men who don't have children, think is best for America. The majority of women, the majority of working class Americans, of lower class Americans, would prefer to have the flexibility to have a parent stay at home and raise their child.
Now, obviously, that's important to the parent. For many parents, they want to spend time with their kids. That's the reason they have kids. That's why I had five kids. I like to be with my kids. But it's also important for the kids, and it's also important for society.
Right. President Biden talked in his speech about the American Families Plan about the lifelong consequences of a parent dropping out of the workforce, even temporarily. The problem is he didn't realize those consequences are good. We know that when babies spend time with their mothers, it sets the stage for their development for the rest of their lives. And fathers, not shockingly, are necessary too. A child who has a strong relationship with his father is less likely to show aggressive behaviors, is less likely to commit crimes. And this has been tried and tested in Canada, where they instituted this universal child care, and it was disastrous for that generation of Canadian children.
So if we wanted to make what they call investments. Of course, their idea of investments are taxes. But if we were to make investments that would bring long-term benefits to society, it would simply be to look at our tax structure to encourage and not penalize moms or dads who choose to stay home and raise their kids and not enter the workforce. So you have, instead of two parents in the workforce, maybe you have one or one and a half because they work part-time. But the tax structure benefits that so that the children they have benefit from all the things you just talked about. Society benefits from that because you're not going to have the social pathologies and the problems that are related to fatherlessness in our culture, cost of criminal justice issues, the violence issues. So, I mean, in the long term, it makes sense to have the bonding between a parent and their child.
Absolutely. And, you know, we talk so much about the negative effects of the coronavirus pandemic. Well, one of the positive effects of this is that it has proven that work from home works. And it has allowed and created flexibility for those parents who say, we just can't make it work without two incomes.
So we actually rediscovered something. Because that's the way the economy used to work. The economy, the home, I should say, was the place of business. It was the place of education. In some cases, depending in the rural areas, it was the place of worship. I mean, it was the center of life. And, you know, all the negative things associated with the coronavirus, there was a rediscovery of that truth.
Absolutely. And we found that parents actually prefer to spend more time with their children, that they want to be involved in their education and in their daily lives, that parents especially appreciate being able to transmit their values to their children. President Biden's plan tries to replace parents doing any of that with a government agency, a government-approved agency.
So according to the plan, a breakout of the plan, $200 billion for free 3- and 4-year-old preschool. Of course, they'll dictate the curriculum, I'm sure. Then we're talking about free 2 years of community college, which if we didn't get you through the first 12 years, they're going to get you with their indoctrination in those 2 years. Then we've got support for child care. That is a $225 billion investment. That is basically paying parents to go into the workforce and farm your kids out to child care.
Right. And the left is there. They have no problem with indoctrination. We've seen it with the explicit sex education packages that we've seen in California. We've seen it with the critical race theory that has been promoted across the country. They have no problem with indoctrination. And now with the child care subsidies and the child care promotion, there's an effort to have a child in the government's hands as
right.
early as possible.
Yeah, all that we've seen in this last year, that's the last thing parents should want. In fact, in this program, though, there's no mention of faith-based providers or religious schools being included. So clearly this is going to be in the hands of more government indoctrinators if you take advantage of this.
It certainly is. And, you know, it's parents should have the ability to make the decision of who is instilling beliefs in their children. They should be able to decide this person is good to be around my child or not.
Absolutely. Mary, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, encouraging you to pray for our nation. I want to thank you for being with us, and I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234.